यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरेत श्री श्रीमती शिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Hare Krishna, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, Text Number 45. Bhaktyodhavana Payinya Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Sarvotpatyapyayam Brahma कारणं मोपयाति सः भक्त्योद्धवानपायिन्या सर्वलोकमहेश्वरं सर्वोत्पत्यप्ययं ब्रह्म कारणं मोपयाति सः भक्त्योद्धवानपायिन्या सर्वलोकमहेश्वरं सर्वोत्पत्यप्ययं ब्रह्म कारणं मोपयाति सः. भक्त्योद्धवानपायिन्या सर्वलोकमहेश्वरं सर्वोत्पत्यप्ययं ब्रह्म भक्त्योद्धवानपायिन्या सर्वलोकमहेश्वरं कारणमोपयाति सः भक्त्योद्धवानपायिन्या सर्वलोकमहेश्वरं Bhaktya, by loving service. Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, Anapayinya, unfailing, Sarva of all, Loka, worlds, Mahaishwaram, the Supreme Lord, Sarva, of everything, Utpatti, the cause of the creation, Apyayam, and annihilation, Brahma, the Absolute Truth, Karanam, the cause of the universe, Ma, to me, Upayati comes, Saha, he. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Uddhava, I am the Supreme Lord of all worlds, and I create and destroy this universe, being its ultimate cause. I am thus the Absolute Truth, and one who worships me with unfailing devotional service comes to me. Purport. As described in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, Lord Krishna is understood in three features: as impersonal Brahman, localized Paramatma, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the source of everything. Lord Krishna absorbs the impersonal philosophers into the rays of his body, appears before the perfect yogis as the Lord of the heart, and ultimately brings his pure devotees back to his own abode for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपम् साग्रजाताम् सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितम् तां सजीवम् साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजना सहितम् कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण. सो आई वुड लाइक टू सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज हियर. So we are continuing with the section of Uddhava Gita, Krishna's instructions to Uddhava. And in this verse, he is talking about how Krishna is the ultimate cause of everything. And he is the source of everything, the source of creation, source of destruction, source of maintenance. Ultimately, Krishna is the ultimate cause of everything. And one who worships me with unfailing devotional service comes to me, Krishna says. Similar to the Gita verse, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam. One who worships me, knowing that Krishna is the cause of everything, how Krishna is the source of everything, buddha bhava samanvita. Such a person worships me with all his heart, with all his emotions. Buddha bhava, you worship with intelligence and with emotions, bhava. Not that you worship sentimentally without intelligence, nor simply you worship only with intelligence without any emotions. Both emotions and understanding has to be there while worshipping Krishna. Therefore we have an entire knowledge base, set of books to explain to us why understanding Krishna is so important. If you simply worship Krishna out of emotions without having proper understanding of Krishna Tattva, without having proper understanding of Krishna's position, then we end up becoming Sahajiyas. We become simply emotional worshippers. And people usually don't appreciate such emotional worshippers, sentimental worshippers. And simply if you accumulate knowledge in your head without developing enough emotions for Krishna, then it becomes totally dry worship, intellectual worship. And such worship cannot last long, because ultimately every living entity is looking for rasa, emotions, emotional exchange, to love and to be loved. So both have to go together, understanding and emotions. And such a devotee can continue his spiritual practices for a long time. Therefore, we have an entire theology of Rasa Tattva. So, our Goswamis have given several literatures like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu to explain how emotional development happens in a spiritual practitioner. How, after going through the stages of Nishtha, Ruchi, and Asakti, then Bhava, the emotions sprout. The first sprout of emotion happens at the stage of bhava. And then when that develops and blossoms, then it becomes developed into the complete fruit of pure love of Krishna. So therefore, we need to be conscious of both Krishna's position and our emotional development in spiritual practices. So here, this verse is also similar to the Gita verse of மத்த பரதரம் நானியத் கிஞ்சித் அஸ்தி தனஞ்சய. கிருஷ்ண சேஸ் ஐ ஆம் அபவ் எவ்ரி திங், தெர் இஸ் நோ ஒன் சுப்பீரியர் டு மீ நார் எனி ஒன் ஈக்குவல் டு மீ, அண்ட் ஐ ஹோல்ட் எவ்ரி திங் ஜஸ்ட் லைக் எ த்ரெட் ஹோல்ஸ் செவரல் பீட்ஸ் பேர்ல்ஸ் ஆன் எ த்ரெட் ஸ்ட்ரங் ஆன் எ த்ரெட். இன் ஒன் கீதா டெய்லி ஆர்டிக்கல் சைத்தன்ய சரண் பிரபு டாக்ஸ் அபவுட் ஹவு காட் underlies everything, overlies everything, and he outlies everything. What does that mean? Underlies everything, which means he is under everything. He is the thread that connects all the pearls of the necklace. So, mai sarvam idam protam sutre manigana eva. So, all the planetary systems, all the living entities, all the demigods, all are clinging together to each other, and Krishna is the underlying thread that is holding everything in its proper position, all the planetary systems, all the universes. So Krishna underlies everything, and one who can perceive Krishna's presence in every situation, in every walk of life, he can appreciate Krishna's divinity. So in every situation, in every happiness or calamity situation, we need to be able to perceive Krishna's hand, Krishna's role. Otherwise, we may, in happy situations, we may perceive, and in difficult situations, if we are unable to perceive, then we may start doubting Krishna's existence, whether he really exists, whether he is my real well-wisher, is he really caring for me, is he really watching over me. So when we see Krishna's role, Krishna's underlying presence in everything, then even in difficult situations we can appreciate Krishna's role, and we can see the difficult situations as Krishna's mercy, not as someone who is trying to punish me for all my wrongdoings. So in this way Krishna underlies everything. Krishna overlies everything how? He says, Maya ததமிதம் சர்வம் ஜெகத் அவ்யக்த மூர்த்தினா நச்ச மத்ஸ்தானி பூதானி பஷ்யமே யோகம் ஐஸ்வரம். ஆல்தோ ஐ ஆம் இன் எவ்ரிதிங் இஸ் அவுட்சைட் மீ, ஐ ஆம் அலூஃப் ஃப்ரம் எவ்ரிதிங், ஐ ஆம் அன்அஃபெக்டட் பை த மெட்டீரியல் மோட்ஸ் தட் இஸ் பர்வேடிங் தி என்டையர் மெட்டீரியல் கிரியேஷன், ஐ ஆம் இன் தெம் அண்ட் ஐ ஆம் ஸ்டில் நாட் இன் தெம். I am controlling everything, but I am not controlled by all those things. In this way, Krishna is above everything. He is transcendental to the material creation. Krishna, in his plenary expansions of Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, he oversees the material creation and their workings, and he doesn't directly get in touch with the material energy. The Vishnu form, the expansions, Lord Shiva, Parvati, all these personalities deal with interacting with the material energy. So that way Krishna is above and aloof from the entire material creation. Brahma Samhita says, Vikar, Kshiram Yatha Dadhi Vikar Vishesha Yoga. So when Krishna comes in touch with the material world, he takes the form of Lord Shiva, and that Vikar happens. So Krishna remains aloof. And Krishna outlies everything. So he is transcendental to the material creation. The material modes, the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, is entangling all the living entities. And every living entity, his thoughts, words and actions are influenced by these modes. But Krishna is aloof. In the Gita he says, Namam karmani limpanti, name karma phale spruha. All these karmic reactions, the modes, they don't affect me. I am not entangled in them. And a living entity who understands that Krishna is not entangled by the modes, such a person is also not entangled in the modes. So understanding Krishna, understanding that Krishna is not influenced by the modes, helps us to not get influenced by the modes. We also remain aloof from the modes. That's how we become transcendental. On our own strength, on our own energy, we cannot get over the material energy. But simply by understanding that Krishna is a controller, Krishna is beyond the modes, and all his activities are transcendental, then we also become transcendental. So it's such a simple thing. All we have to do is understand that janma karma chame divyam evam yovaiti tattva. Krishna's janma, karma, activities, everything are divyam, are divine, transcendental. Iti mam yo bijanati. One who understands this, karma bhir nasabadyate. He doesn't get entangled in karmic reactions. So in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit is asking questions to Sukadeva Goswami. How does creation happen? What are the ingredients of creation? And how is everything wound up? He wants to know about creation. Sarga Visarga is the title of those sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Initial creation, secondary creation by Lord Brahma. So when Parikshit raises these questions, Shukadeva Goswami, before he tries to answer the question, he starts offering prayers. Prayers to the Supreme Lord to empower him to answer these questions. So Prabhupada in the purport says, Parikshit's questions are glorious. Shukadeva Goswami's answers are glorious. One who asks such questions, one who answers these questions, one who hears these answers, everyone's life become auspicious. So in this way, Shukadeva Goswami starts offering series of prayers, around more than a dozen prayers. And in one prayer he says, Shriyapatir Yagyapati Prajapatir Dhyampatir Lokapatir Dharapati Patir Gateshchandhaka Vrishni Satvatam Prasidatam Me Bhagavan Satampati. So in one place, Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, anyone who tries to, especially in Kali Yuga, it is extremely difficult for living entities to understand Krishna's 10th canto pastimes. Because they appear so ordinary. Ordinary like human interactions between a man and a woman. So therefore, a living entity, especially a spiritual practitioner, should systematically study the earlier cantos, first 9 cantos. And then when he comes to the 10th canto, such a person can appreciate. After having thoroughly understood Krishna's divinity, then when he tries to understand Krishna's sweet human-like pastimes, he can see divinity even within them. Otherwise, he is bound to get misunderstood and misunderstand Krishna and Krishna's devotees also. So, Jiva Goswami says, anyone who has even one ulterior desire, such a person is practicing Kaitava Dharma. So, one description of Shukadeva Goswami in this section is, he is described as Gatavyalika. Gatavyalika means one who is non-pretentious. One who doesn't have any pretensions. Pretension means externally showing something, internally something else. Like in the Bhagavatam second verse we find Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmatsaranam Satam. Bhagavatam rejects all kinds of pretentious religions. And it is meant for Nirmatsaranam Satam. One who is non-envious. People who are non-envious can appreciate the message of the Bhagavatam. Others do not get entry into the Bhagavatam, into the mysteries of the Bhagavatam. So Gatavyalika. And there he says, anyone who has any little tinge of any material desire, which could be karma kand, jnana kand, any desire other than service to Krishna, is following pretentious religious system. Or pretension. He is holding on to pretensions. And which will block our entrance into the mysteries of the Bhagavatam. So Shukadeva Goswami, therefore, he begins to offer prayers. And in this prayer he says, Shriyapati. Shriyapati is, so he says, may Lord Shri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees, Vrishni Satvatam, the protector and glory of all the kings like Andhaka and Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, the husband of all goddesses of fortune, the director of all sacrifices, and therefore the leader of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, be merciful upon me. Prasidatam me Bhagavan Satampati. So Prabhupada elaborates on each of these terms in his purport. Shriyapati, he says, Krishna is the Lord of all gopis. He is the Lord of all opulences, all Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Sahasrachata Sambrahma Sevyamanam, Govindam Adipurusham. He is the master of all the goddesses of fortune, all the wealth in the universe. And among all devotees, he is the master of the gopis. Among the gopis, he is the master of Srimati Radharani, the best of all gopis. In this way, Krishna is Shriyapati. And he goes on to elaborate how Sahajiyas try to imitate Krishna by trying to dance with their girlfriends, and in this way they ruin their lives. But Krishna is not like that. He is the real master, and he is the real owner of all the opulences of the creation. Then he says Yajnapati. Yajnapati means he is the owner and the enjoyer of all the sacrifices. So whenever a living entity gets any blessing from the goddesses of fortune, from Lakshmi, then the living entity is supposed to utilize all those opportunities, the opulences and the wealth as a sacrifice to the owner of Lakshmi, to Krishna. Then his life becomes auspicious. Because ultimately Krishna is Shriyapati, Lakshmipati also. And when Lakshmiji offers benedictions, blessings upon a living entity, he is getting some amsha of Lakshmiji. And that Lakshmi has to be utilized in the service of the master of Lakshmi. So even the demigods, sometimes the demigods are, sometimes people worship demigods, offer sacrifices for demigods. But even the demigods that offer blessings upon the devotees are ultimately coming from Krishna. So even those blessings and favors that they get from demigods are supposed to be offered to Krishna as reciprocation. And then Prabhupada quotes, Yajnyarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karmabandhana. Tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. When a living entity offers everything in sacrifice, lokoyam karmabandhana, he can get rid of material entanglements. Otherwise, he gets bound up in all the reactions of action and reaction. And then Prabhupada glorifies, introduces, for this age, the best sacrifice is the sacrifice of chanting the holy name. Sankirtana Yajna. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshatam. Yajnai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha. So in this age of Kali, we don't have the opportunities, facilities and the resources to perform all these elaborate sacrifices. But it is so easy to perform Sankirtana Yajna. Come together in congregation, chant Hare Krishna, chant Krishna's glories, chant Krishna's kirtan. In this way, we make our life perfect in such an easy manner. Sumedhasaha. Prabhupada elaborates on that term very much. Sumedhasaha means one who is extremely broad-minded and intelligent. That's one mystery about Sankirtan Yajna. The process is so simple, so easy, that complicated intelligence cannot appreciate this. We need something elaborate and detailed processes there. Then intelligence feels something is there in it. But Sankirtan coming together with some instruments, playing kartal and mridanga, and you dance around, run around, that is considered too simplistic. How can the most intelligent people take to this process? But we need to understand how Sankirtan is a sacrifice. What are we sacrificing here? In other yajnas, we sacrifice dravya, wealth, so many ingredients, ghee, grains. In Sankirtan yajna, what is the item that is sacrificed? What exactly are we sacrificing? So here we are sacrificing our consciousness. ultimately, sacrifice of all the ingredients is also meant to lead to sacrifice of our heart, our consciousness. Because when someone gives his heart to a person, that is the best sacrifice. Someone gives his heart for the country, for sacrifice for the country, the national heroes. That is considered a very great sacrifice. Someone gives his heart for the society, social welfare. That's a sacrifice. You give your time and energy and your entire attention for the welfare of country, for the welfare of society, for the welfare of community. Then he's considered really selfless. So ultimately sacrifice means you sacrifice your heart and emotions and your consciousness for the beloved, for some other object other than you. And when that sacrifice is offered to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that is the best form of sacrifice. And that gives the best benefit, highest results, eternal benefit. So sacrificing one's consciousness is the real sacrifice. And if we analyze today's situations, where is our consciousness invested in? So see the materialistic consciousness. When we say consciousness is materialistic, which means the consciousness is invested in matter and material enjoyment, sense enjoyment. Although externally we may perform several sacrifices for the sake of demigods, for the nation, whatever it is. But ultimately, I am the center. Ultimately, I want to benefit from the sacrifice. The idea is not to benefit the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, all the sacrifices and ingredients that are offered, the goal becomes materialistic. And in today's times, even those things are not happening. Sacrificing for the nation is also considered out of the world, almost like transcendental. But someone who is sacrificed, but the overall consciousness in this world today, we see the populations, consciousness is absorbed in I, me and mine. How I can enjoy, how my immediate family members can enjoy, how my senses can get the fullest experience of joy. So the consciousness is pervaded, saturated by these thoughts, I and mine. When that is transferred as service to Krishna, then it becomes pure Krishna consciousness. That's what happens when we do Sankirtan. Sankirtan is simply chanting Krishna's holy names, Krishna's glories, for the pleasure of Krishna. Without going through the elaborate procedure of sacrificing ingredients, dravya, karma, directly we are offering consciousness to Krishna, which ultimately is the goal of all other sacrifices. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is the highest form of yoga. Prabhupada wrote a book, The Highest Yoga System, Perfection of Yoga, which is Krishna consciousness. Because we are offering our heart, attempting to and struggling, trying to offer our heart and soul and emotions to Krishna. Therefore, that's our aim. So that is Yajnapati. Then he says Prajapati. Prajapati means the Supreme Lord of all the living entities. Prabhupada quotes the verse, Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. Nityo Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam. Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadhati Kaman. Among all the living entities, eternal living entities, there is one supreme living entity. Among all the Chaitanas Chaitanya, among all conscious living beings, there is one supremely conscious living being. That is Krishna. So, Bhuta Bhrinna Cha Bhutastho, the Gita Krishna says, I am the maintainer of all living entities. Bhuta Bhavana Bhutesha, Deva Deva Jagatpate. I am the maintainer and controller and the leader of all living entities, including all 8,400,000 species of life. So in this way, we are supposed to offer our all our respects and obeisances to Krishna. In the next word he says, Dhyampati, Shukadev Goswami's word. Dhyampatir, Lokapatir, Dharapati. Dhyampati means he is the master of all intelligence. So there Prabhupada writes, living beings are proportionately endowed with intelligence in terms of their previous activities. One person can sharply remember past activities by the grace of the Lord, while others cannot. One is highly intelligent by the grace of the Lord, and one is a fool by the same control. So intelligence is a function of the super soul. According to the degree of surrender we show to the super soul Krishna, to that degree we get intelligence. To that degree super soul will release intelligence to the living entity. And by that intelligence we can decide what is the right action, what is the wrong action. Karya pravrittim cha nivrittim cha karya karye bhayabhaye. Krishna says what to do, what not to do, what is to be feared, what is not to be feared. Such intelligence is in the mode of goodness. Bandham moksham chayaveti buddhissa partha sattviki. What is bondage, what is liberation, what is binding, what is liberating. The intelligence which is able to discriminate these things is in the mode of goodness. So Krishna is the master of all intelligence. And Lokapati, he is the master of all the planets and universes. The same second canto, Shukdev Goswami continues after quoting the conversation between Narad Muni and Brahmaji. He describes how the Virat Rupa, the entire universe is a form of the Lord. Philosophers imagine the material universe as a form of the Lord. The whole idea is to show that God is a conscious person. He is not impersonal. So, higher planetary systems is the head of the Lord. Middle planetary system is the abdomen of the Lord. The lower planetary system is the leg, arms, the feet of the Lord. So in this way they are described. The Brahmanas are the head, Kshatriyas are the arms, Vaishyas are the abdomen, Shudras are the legs. And then he goes on to greater details. How Satyaloka is the head, the 14 planetary system. Satyaloka is the head, Tapoloka is the breast, Janaloka neck, Maharloka chest. Every planetary system is one limb of the universal form. The lower planetary system, Patal, Rasatal, they form the feet, the shanks, the knees, thighs, waist, hips. So every planetary system is a form of the Lord. This is not just imagination. Ultimately, the whole idea is to show how the Lord is conscious of each and every living entity in each and every universe, in each and every planetary system. And He is the leader, the controller of everyone. He is the Lokapati. Modern idea is to show how everything is disconnected. Scientists are trying their best ways and researches to prove whether life exists. Here Bhagavatam is going far beyond. Not only life exists in every planet, the Lord is conscious of each and every life in each and every universe, in each and every planet. And in this way, one who acknowledges Krishna's controller all over the universe eventually worships Him. There is no other consequence. As soon as we accept Krishna's control and proprietorship over everything, a naturally intelligent person will want to worship such a great person, will want to have a relationship with such a person. There, Brahmaji also describes how the universal form, the Lord has specific desires to fulfill. And to fulfill those desires, He acts through the universe. He has several demigods who carry out different functions of the universe, and they are all fulfilling certain desires of the Lord. So here he says, the desire of the Lord is to understand Himself through Vedic sound. This is one desire of the Lord. So then there are sense devatas, dig devatas. So the universal form has ears, and the demigods are controlling those organs. Dig devatas are there. His desire is to experience softness, hardness, heat, cold, heavy and light things. So he has skin. The trees are supposed to be the hair on the skin. That's how the universal form is described. And Vayu is there, the sense of touch you get from air. To see Himself and other objects, Krishna has his desire. The Lord has a desire. And He needs eyes. The sun and the moon act as the eyes. Surya. He has a desire to drink and eat. So then He has a tongue. Varuna is the controller of the sense organ of tongue. To smell, Ashwini Kumar are the controlling demigods. So all these demigods are fulfilling, from one point of view, certain desires. The Lord has a desire to speak. Vak. Who is the controller of demigod? Agni is the controlling demigod. To experience certain sensations. Roma, this hair. Mahiruha is the sense demigod. To perform certain activities, he has hands and legs. Indra is the administrative demigod who executes certain actions of Krishna's desire. To move about, to roam around, Upendra, to have procreation, reproduction, Prajapatis are there. To reject waste, that is also a bodily function. Then Mitra Varuna, Mitra Mrityu, Yama, Mitra, these demigods are there who control these activities. Ultimately, all these demigods are controlling the activities of the living entities also. Living entities have these certain organs. These are the demigods that control these actions. So in this way, Samudra is the demigod is controller of digesting food. Then rivers and veins, they control the veins. Chandra controls the mind, moon. So in this way, we have the universal form, Krishna controlling Lokapati. He is the controller of the entire universe, the various planetary systems. And Shukadev Goswami is offering prayers to him. And finally, he says Dharapati. Dharapati means the supreme incarnation on earth. Krishna incarnates at various times, in various millennium, in various yugas. Sambhavami yuge yuge. In order to attract the conditioned souls back to him. So Krishna, the original form of Krishna, Shyamsundar Krishna, is the most wonderful of all incarnations. The original personality of Godhead. So in this way, Shukadev Goswami offers his prayers and before beginning his description of the Lord who is control of the entire creation. Today also the last day of our Jaladan, Tulsi Shalagram Jaladan. So I'll spend a few minutes on this. So why do we do this Jaladan? So Acharyas describe how this month is also called as Keshava. Like we have Kartik month, devotees undergo special vratas in Kartik month. This month is also a chance for practitioners to undertake certain vratas. So it seems some devotees undergo extra additional vows of chanting and reading. So in this month, anything done gets several times spiritual benefits. So Shalagram, this is a summer period, especially in the northern hemisphere. And offering water to Tulsi and Shalagram is considered very auspicious, very potent for spiritual practitioners. So like we offer, so every object if you see, like we have scripture. Scripture is worshipped by studying. You worship rivers, holy rivers by bathing. You honor food by eating. Similarly, spiritual Tulsi, which is an expansion of Srimati Radharani in her series of expansions. We worship Tulsi by offering water. Plant. So plant, plants need water. So in our daily parikrama, we offer water. But because it is summer season, offering continuous drip of water is considered beneficial, transcendentally and even materially. Otherwise, Tulsi can dry up. And because Tulsi Shalagram is husband-wife couple, along with Tulsi, we also offer water dripping to Shalagram also. So in this way, it is considered a very potent form of spiritual practice. So therefore, this month, the last 15-20 days, we have been doing this. Today is the last day. So in one talk recently, Gauram Prabhu spoke about Vyavasayatmika buddhi. He was talking about how a spiritual practitioner needs to count the spiritual benefits we are accumulating through our practices. Like a businessman who is extremely conscious of how much money is accumulating, how much money is investing, what are the returns. Vyavasaya atmika, it means vyavasaya ke jaisi buddhi, business like aggression. So similarly, a spiritual practitioner should be focused in his spiritual practices to such an extent that he wants to make best use of every moment and get returns, spiritual returns from his practices. One who is not conscious, he has avyavasayatmika buddhi, buddhayo vyavasayena. He is distracted and is not serious about utilizing every opportunity for spiritual growth. So all these vratas, all these periods within the year, duration of the year, is meant to help us improve and enhance our spiritual practices. Rupa Goswami says, laulyam, laulyam mulyam ekam, ekalam. Only greed alone can purchase Krishna, can help us purchase Krishna. Without sufficient greed, our devotion remains diluted and lacking intensity. So when a spiritual practitioner is serious, focused and determined to achieve Krishna, then Krishna becomes available. In this way we can perfect our life. So I'll stop here. Anyone has any questions or comments? Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.